Since the publication of his 1958 novel, Things Fall Apart, Nigerian writer Chinua Achebe has been recognized throughout the world for his depictions of African life, politics, and history. He's also taught and written poetry, essays, and children's books. After a long hiatus from novel writing, Achebe has written Anthills of the Savannah. Book critic John Leonard has this review.
It's been more than 20 years between novels for Chinua Achebe, the grand old man of African letters. Readers who remember Things Fall Apart, Arrow of God, and A Man of the People will expect just enough tribal folklore to satisfy our taste for the exotic in a narrative otherwise traditionally European. Like his fellow Nigerian, Wole Soyinka, Achebe has always seemed to write more for the West than for the home folks. One may have grown up Igbo and the other Yoruban at opposite ends of their country and on opposite sides of the Biafran Civil War, but both went to English schools and have had to define themselves in opposition to a departed colonial power. Despising that power, they still sought its literary approval. But in Anthills of the Savannah, Achebe has decolonized himself. He isn't much interested in more bashing of the British and other imperialists. He looks savagely inward instead, at the black elites of emerging Africa, fatally compromised in their association with the West, tone-deaf to the homeland. About the fictitious new nation of Kangan, he's at first funny, then sarcastic, then sad, and finally almost mystical. Anthills is the story of three schoolmates who come to power after the British flee, and the woman who loved two of them. Sam, a graduate of Sandhurst, the English West Point, is the leader of his people by military coup. Sam's best friend, the worldly Chris, is Minister of Information. Chris's best friend, the poet and prophet Ikem, edits the government newspaper. The peasantry in a drought-stricken north begins to stir. Sam's power corrupts to paranoia. Ikem's editorials and speeches lead to his arrest. The fabric of Chris's loyalties and life is torn. Beatrice, an economist in love with Chris and devoted to Ikem, moves from the salons to the streets to help. And in these anthills, among shopgirls, taxi drivers, and waterfront itinerants, it is no longer possible to blame the British for all that's gone wrong, nor to think that Marxist models are anything more than mirror tricks. The face of the desert is unchanged. Reading the minds of the intellectuals, Achebe finds an alienation from old gods and modern reality. They can speak, if they must, the pidgin English of the underclass, magnificently rendered here, a sort of mythic incantation, but no longer feel the contours this peculiar poetry describes. They've been so long among abstractions that they don't know how to connect, much less serve. They've ripped out roots they should have nourished. Somehow, out of pidgin, folktale, and bush dream, out of satire and despair, out of rites of burial and rebirth, Achebe in this short, wise novel makes a commanding affirmation. Beatrice and her symbolic daughters have vanguard roles to play in a new Africa. What will it look like? Achebe doesn't specify. When Ikem is asked by students to graduate from criticism to, quote, the higher responsibility of prescriptions for the future, he replies, writers don't give prescriptions, they give headaches. Anthills is a brilliant headache, cured by magic.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed Anthills of the Savannah by Chinua Achebe.